From KUOW, I'm Ross Reynolds. Should businesses be allowed to fire people for smoking? Should they be able to adopt policies against hiring smokers? Well, both of those things are completely legal here in Washington State. Unlike 29 other states that protect smokers from getting fired just for being smokers, no such law exists in Washington State. According to the Washington State Department of Labor and Industries, employers can refuse to hire someone because they smoke. They can even fire employees if they're smoking. So is this a good idea? 206-543-5869. That's 206-543-KUOW. Do you smoke? Has it affected your ability to get or keep a job? 800-289-5869. Should our state protect smokers from workplace retaliation? You can write to us, conversation@kuow.org. Alaska Airlines is one Seattle company that's decided not to hire smokers. Here's what Alaska spokeswoman Marianne Lindsay said on Marketplace about the airline's hiring process.
In general, there's a question that's asked, you know, have you smoked or used tobacco products within the last, I believe it's 6 months? And we go by how the employee responds to that question. And then before they are hired, they have a drug test that they take that detects nicotine use.
So what do you think? Should businesses be allowed to only hire non-smokers? Should they be able to fire smokers who take up smokers who are employed by them? Give us a call, 206-543-5869. That's 206-543-KUOW, 800-289-5869. Or you can write conversation@kuow.org. Joining us to inform our opinions, Dr. Kevin Volpe supports workplace discrimination against smokers. Dr. Volpe is professor of medicine and healthcare management at the University of Pennsylvania, and that's where they're moving to a smoke-free workforce this July. And also with us, Kristen Voigt, who opposes workplace discrimination against smokers. She's an assistant professor of philosophy at McGill University in Montreal. They both co-wrote dueling articles on this for the New England Journal of Medicine. We have links to those articles at kuow.org. Dr. Kevin Volpe, let's start with you. What's the strongest argument for allowing employers to fire or refuse to hire smokers?
Well, I think a lot of the organizations that are doing this are in businesses where customers complain about the smell of smoke. So Alaska Airlines and a lot of the healthcare organizations where not hiring smokers is happening are customer service organizations where patients or customers are taken care of in close settings and where tobacco smoke smell does matter. So I think that's one reason it's happening. A second, of course, has a lot to do with the dangers of tobacco smoking and how it affects health costs for the employer. And then a third really is a larger question about trying to further change social norms and thereby help to reduce smoking rates within the communities.
To the first point, I have some coworkers who smoke, and unless I see them smoking outside when I walk outside, I don't even notice because apparently they take at pains to not smell like smokers when they come back into the radio station. If part of the problems is customers complaining, couldn't that be dealt with simply by having smokers deal with the aroma?
Well, I think it's difficult. There are a lot of patients who have asthma or reactive airway diseases who are admitted to the hospital or taken care of in clinics who may be very sensitive to cigarette smoke and the smell of smoke. And I think you do generally detect it on people's clothes if you're close enough to them.
With us also, philosophy professor Kristen Voigt. What is the strongest argument, Kristen, for banning workplace discrimination against smokers?
Well, first of all, I should emphasize what's really not under disagreement between people who are talking about this issue, and that's that smoking is a very significant health problem and we should be trying to reduce it. But I think there are a number of reasons why we should be concerned about non-smoker hiring policies. And perhaps the biggest problem is that, you know, if this is something that we do in an attempt to help reduce smoking rates, we haven't really seen any evidence that this could really help reduce smoking. And this lack of evidence is important because these policies are really imposing a significant burden on smokers. So we're talking about people losing their jobs or not getting hired for positions they might otherwise get because they are smokers. So we're putting these policies in place without any evidence that they might actually be helpful when it comes to reducing smoking. And we think, I think we also want to take into account that smoking is a problem that exists on a social gradient. So smoking is a lot more common among people in lower income groups, people who are already unemployed. So we're imposing this significant burden on people who are already very disadvantaged without any evidence that this is really something that could help us reduce smoking.
Kristen Voigt, why should an employer bear the additional health care costs that come from a smoker? Lots of smokers give it up. Clearly, people can do it and do it all the time. Why should that have to be on the employer's health care bill?
Well, first of all, I think it's important to emphasize that, you know, the fact that something imposes costs on the employer isn't enough of an argument to say that, you know, this is something that employers should discriminate against when it comes to hiring policies. So having people on staff with certain health problems might also impose costs on employers, but we don't generally think that that's enough, to justify their discriminating against people with those conditions when it comes to employment. And I think there is a lot of rhetoric around smoking, which is just, which suggests that really smoking is just a matter of choice. And that's, I think, very problematic because it doesn't really sit very easily with what we know about smoking and how difficult it is for people to quit smoking. So smoking, of course, is very addictive. And even though most smokers, probably around 70% of smokers, do want to quit, very few smoking attempts are actually successful. So there are figures that suggest that only 3-5% of cessation attempts are actually successful. So this is really not something that we could describe as a habit or a personal choice necessarily. It's something that even if smokers are very motivated to quit, they aren't necessarily going to be in a position to do so because it's just very, very hard to do.
Well, that's a very interesting point. I want to get to that with Dr. Kevin Volpe. But first of all, Dr. Volpe, people do a lot of things in their personal lives that are not good for their health. They might eat too much fast food. They might climb dangerous mountains. Should workplaces discriminate against anyone who indulges in unsafe behavior that's bad for their health?
Well, I think a lot of times people ask this question, and what one does in the context of smoking doesn't necessarily need to carry over to any other arena. So I think it can be a little bit of a red herring. The question of discrimination, I'm not sure I would actually use the word discrimination. There's a lot of employers around the country are using various forms of financial incentives to try to incent smokers.
No, I got to stop you right there, though. Isn't it classic discrimination to be able to fire someone because they smoke or not hire them? Why would you say that is not discrimination in the workplace?
Well, very, very few organizations are actually firing smokers. I think there's a very significant qualitative difference between firing an employee who's otherwise a good employee who's a smoker and not hiring somebody in a tight labor market where there's a lot of people applying for those jobs. So I do think that doing what you can to help your current employees quit smoking is a very essential provision that a lot of employers like the University of Pennsylvania Health System are doing. And the question of who you hire then becomes a separate issue.
Well, Doctor, I also want to get you to respond to what Kristen Voigt had to say about saying that smoking for some people is an addiction. They can't quit, and that not hiring them for a job is placing a burden on them for something that they cannot control.
Yeah, so I think it's a really important point that Kristen made. As she said, about 3% of smokers per year quit, even though studies show about 70% want to. So there's no question whatsoever that it's really difficult for people to quit smoking. And what we all strive for is to try to reduce the rate of smokers in the population. And a lot of the current policies, you know, I think one of the arguments is that even when you offer people pretty strong financial incentives, they still don't quit at very high rates. So, for example, we ran a program among employees at General Electric around the country. We offered an incentive of $750 to quit smoking, and we tripled long-term smoking cessation rates. But those smoking cessation rates at 18 months were 9%, which still meant that 91% of people were still smoking. And the goal here is to really see, can you increase the rate at which people quit smoking? Because I think ultimately, the way these programs are going to be judged is based on the consequences. So, for example, as Kristen was saying, these programs disproportionately affect lower-income people because they smoke at higher rates. Smoking disproportionately affects lower-income people in terms of the burden of disease and the rate of death. So if you put in a program like this, if you're the largest employer in your community and it gets the message out to young people to stop smoking and they stop smoking at higher rates, then the program in essence would have a net benefit. But that's really the open question nobody knows the answer to.
Kristen Voigt, I want to ask you, do you think that these policies which permit in some states, in other states this is prohibited, that permit an employer to not hire smokers, is this workplace discrimination, would you call it?
Yeah, to my mind, it would, it's a discriminatory, it is discrimination in the sense that it's excluding a specific group of employees from employment. So to my mind, this is discrimination.
Let's hear from what some of you had to say about this question. Washington State, one of those where you cannot hire someone because they smoke. Alaska Airlines does it. Maybe you work at a place that also does that, and maybe you agree with the policy or you disagree with the policy. Let's go to Sal. He's listening to us this afternoon from up on the Kitsap Peninsula. Sal, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us. What are your thoughts on this?
Good afternoon. My husband's a chiropractor, and we have massage therapists, and we would not hire anyone who's a smoker. And the reason is, you know, there's a lot of industries where it's hands-on, and there's, you know, interaction with the general public, and it becomes a health issue for those other people. So, and a lot of people think of secondhand smoke in terms of directly, you know, somebody smoking around you, but like something like aesthetics, or someone's getting a facial, or someone's getting a massage, that person who's a smoker, who's, you know, massaging that person, they're still passing on those toxins through their skin because your skin's one of your largest organs. So I think that there's, you know, there's health implications to the general public.
Sure.
When you hire smokers in certain industries. So definitely like in the healthcare field, I think that it's appropriate.
Sal, thank you for presenting that. Sal saying this is both an aesthetic issue and a health issue. Dr. Kevin Volpe, is there a health issue if you're in contact with someone who smokes? Can the nicotine somehow get from them to you if they're not smoking in front of you?
I would say no. I think it's more of a customer service issue because I do think a lot of patients in healthcare settings are very aware of the smoke, but I don't think there's any direct health risk to them from being able to smell the smoke on someone's clothes.
We got this email from Chad, who wrote to say employers should be able to fire someone who's wasting company time on the clock while smoking. It's about paying for work being done and the employee taking advantage of smoke breaks. Kristen Voigt, when it comes to employees, do they get extra time to go smoke? Is this an issue?
Well, first of all, the non-smoker hiring policies are different from the kind of scenarios that your listener described. So we're not talking about restrictions on smoking in the workplace. So those raise very different issues to my mind. So most companies are now restricting smokers smoking in the workplace.
Or outside the workplace or standing outside the workplace in the loading dock, and you think that's okay?
I think that raises different issues. So, if a company doesn't want to permit people smoking on the grounds, I think that is perfectly acceptable because this raises the issue about people being exposed to secondhand smoke and so on. So, this is an issue that affects other people. Now, with the non-smoker hiring policies, what we're talking about is people being asked to take drug tests. To see if they, you know, test to see if their urine contains traces of nicotine. So this is not. This is about what they might do outside of the workplace. This is what they're doing at home. So this is, to my mind, a very different issue.
Finally, one final point. We talked in your case, Dr. Kevin Volpe, about the University of Pennsylvania and healthcare facilities, where this is coming to a head in many areas. Is there any difference in this issue when you're talking about a healthcare facility versus an ordinary workplace? Let's hear first from you, Kristen Voigt.
Well, healthcare organizations are making very different types of arguments when it comes to excluding smokers from employment. So for most companies, I think this is an issue of cost. But for example, the Cleveland Clinic or the World Health Organization station, they make arguments that are slightly different. So they're concerned with employees who can be role models when it comes to leading a healthy lifestyle, or who can be advocates for tobacco control.
Do you find those arguments? Do you find those arguments convincing when it comes to healthcare workers?
I think there are still problems with those arguments. If you think about the role model arguments, it's not clear to me that people who work for hospitals or healthcare professionals, that it's part of their job to be a good role model. So, we expect healthcare professionals to be competent at their jobs, to fix their broken legs, and so on. But it's not clear to me that we can generally expect people to lead a particular lifestyle.
I don't know. My
requirements.
The dental assistant always tells me how much she flosses, and I suppose that has a good impression on me. But Dr. Kevin Volba, a final word from you. Do you think this is different because of where you are at a place that provides health care versus an ordinary workplace?
Well, an ordinary workplace, clearly it is, as Kristen said, all about the economics, higher health care costs on average, and on average lower productivity, and that's really the justification that's being used. Healthcare organizations, particularly those that are the largest employer within their city, are arguing that they can help change the social norms within the community. So, for example, when the Cleveland Clinic put in place a policy like this, the data shows that the smoking rates went down more in the county in which they were located than in the state of Ohio as a whole over a several-year period. That's not proof that supposition is true. I think that data is consistent with that argument, but this really needs to be borne out by more and careful study. But that's certainly one of the arguments healthcare organizations are making.
Okay, we're going to leave it there for now. Dr. Kevin Volpe, thank you so much for joining us. He's professor of medicine and healthcare management at the University of Pennsylvania. And Kristen Voigt, who opposes workplace discrimination against workers, that's what she calls it, and she's an assistant professor of philosophy at McGill University in Montreal. You can see their fleshed out arguments in the articles that they co-wrote in the New England Journal of Medicine at our website, kuow.org. I'm Ross Reynolds.